maybe you can sort out 7 to 10 minutes and just enjoy whatever you can enjoy while they are taking out their electronics here. And also abusing the time to see whether additional members can fit up. More or less Monday. It is a Tuesday, but it is almost like a Monday. I hope that will teach up. But of course, that there is the four members I think that we are not expecting the teach up this morning. We are 11, which means we should be roughly 7 around here. If you could have a tea with those that have not had a chance, just for another practice, looking at why you are putting out. We will be informed on their absence. Then for the government speaking, we have to applaud Dr. Mbeni, the chief of the Bosa, then we have applaud Monosi, Monosi, Mopilu, and then for us to call it. Because I have separated the M-O and the B-E-L-O-N-G. He's a deputy director for the World Relations. Then we've got Nazrin Ibrahim, the executive PA to the CEO. Then, honorable members, we have got Dr. Melder, who's not going to be with us, has apologized. And then Ms. Nisi, also not feeling well. And then Mr. Fichland, then he's going to arrive a little bit late. And then also Mr. Gumeris will arrive a little bit late. And then we have got Honorable Nancy, who will be leaving around 11 for other engagement. And I hope that we may be finished by that time. And yeah, I think those are the apologies that we have received and the delegations that are in front of us. And then we will then begin with the electoral commission to give us a briefing on what they want to do in relation also to their strategic plan.
We are all yours. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and the Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee, and our colleague that is here. We are grateful for the opportunity to present to the community our annual performance plan, especially the period of 2015-2016 financial year. You have already noted, Chairperson, the absence of some key members that are normally leading us in this presentation. Our Vice Chairperson, Commissioner Terry Pelania, who normally leads our delegation, is unable to be here. He has been playing a very instrumental role in setting up an organization called the Alliance of World Election Management Bodies, which started to work about 3 years ago, and it has been the executive committee of that structure. And it happened to be missing this week in preparation for the annual assembly situation over. And he has asked that we convey to you, to the members of the committee, his sincere apology for the people. Same with the Chief Electoral Officer of our organization, Mr. Susan Moyete. He was requested by the African Union to be part of the delegation that addressed and assist the election in Nigeria. That election should have taken place about 4 weeks ago, but was cancelled on the last minute and changed to take place this week. So he has traveled to Nigeria to assist with that election. So definitely I've already introduced our delegation, and I confirm that Ms. Fiona Rowley will be the one who represents on behalf of the Chief Electoral Office. I will make just three general comments on the performance plan that we are presenting and deal with one issue that we have specifically requested me to give you. The first comment that we'd like to make is that although this is not an election year, 2015-2016 is not an election year for us, but the bulk of the work of preparing for the election takes place in this year that we are reporting. On this is not the sense of the work of delivering local government elections of the 16 take place in the period that we are reporting on. Secondly, the local government election is a difficult election for us in many ways. But one key area on which this election is different from the national and provincial elections is that we do not fully control our destiny when it comes to the management of the election. There is a huge dependence on the municipal allocation board to do their work and finish it on time and make a presentation of the ward boundaries to ourselves. And we are unable to completely finish what we need to do until that process is completed. We are in constant interaction with the municipal demarcation board. We hold almost monthly meetings, and we are intending to meet even more often as we get closer to the tight deadlines that should be met. We are aware that their work has been completed even further by the request that has been made to them to look at the outer boundaries of certain municipalities, and they are informing us that they are still doing that. The MCB has given us two firm dates. First one is that date by which they want to deliver to us the final ward boundary for those municipalities that are not affected. And they have promised us that the 13th August 2016 will be a date by which they will deliver the final ward boundary for the municipalities. The second important deadline is the one where they are promising to deliver to us the final ward boundaries for those municipalities that are affected. And the date that they have given us is the 27th of November 2015 for the completion of their work. And as I say, Chatterton, we are in constant discussion with them because those dates are almost circumstances. We are really hoping that either earlier or on those days, we will be able to get what needs to be delivered to us by the MDB. Then from that point on, we are able then to be confident that the ball is firmly in our hands for us to deliver the local government information. The last general comment I want to make, Chairperson and honorable members, is about the review of the legislation. As the IEC, we have completed our proposal for the legislation review for local government elections next year. And that discussion has been held with the National Party Liaison Committee, where all the parties that are presented in Parliament sit. And we have gone through those reviews and we have agreed on those reviews. And the documents has now been submitted to the Minister of Home Affairs. Tomorrow morning we are having a meeting with the Minister of Home Affairs where we are going to have a full discussion of that document. And I assume that from then on, the letter then moves in the legislative process until it comes to yourself. I don't want to make an opportunity of the Commission to again say that our hope is that you will give the necessary cooperation that you're hoping in terms of processing the legislation. Bearing in mind that our plan, especially plans for preparing training manuals, preparing trainers, do not have to retain place until that legislation review is finalized. There are no fundamental issues that the legislation is raising. Three key things that one could mention without the insertion into the United Nations a definition of the authorized representative for aviation passengers. It's been a practice that we have found useful over the years. We are now entrenching it in the legislation. The second one is the provision for the electronic submission of the passengers. Up to now, the passengers have been submitted manually. But with the advance in technology, we think that there should be a possibility for the passengers that prefer to be able to submit their list and trunk. And we are in the legislation proposing how that should be done. And the last one is from the electronic payment of the cost. Up to now, the requirement has been that you have to submit your deposit in a bank guarantee check. That system has become dated. We are then proposing into the legislation a way in which electronic transfer can be used to do the process. Basically, that is those are the elements that are there in this proposed legislation, not the fundamental, just cosmetic things that they will minor issues. You asked the chairperson to talk about the matter that came up before the national and provincial election, which was raised by Ubuntu Standard. It's about a clause in the legislative framework that excludes participation of persons that have been declared by the High Court to be of some unsound mind. The matter was raised, as I said, before national provincial elections. Last time, we had discussed it in the committee, we have since received a letter from the Ubuntu Standard, where we have passed in further discussion on the matter, and we are intending to set up a meeting with them soon, so that the matter can be discussed. And we will keep your committee informed of those discussions. With those preliminary comments, I would then hand over to my colleagues to present the lecture.
Yes,
thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members of the Committee on Communication to present the strategic plan and the annual performance plan of the Electoral Commission for the period beginning on the 1st of April 2015. The first few slides in the presentation deal with our vision and mission, which, as you've indicated, as Chairperson, you are all very familiar with by now, having had us present these on a number of occasions. Obviously, we continue with our overall vision to be a preeminent leader in electoral democracy. And then we have our organizational values that underpin that goal: accountability, integrity, accountability, transparency, participation, responsiveness, and respect. The PAC also sets out our legislative other mandates beginning with Section 190 of the Constitution, and following that with Section 5 of the Electoral Commission Act. The Law Commission Chair, I'm not going to go through those slides in detail. Then on slide 8, we start with our situational analysis, and here we discuss some of the issues that exist in our environment that we are keeping an eye on to ensure that we address any risks that arise. The first is the issue of office accommodation in municipalities. Traditionally, we have always been offered accommodation by municipalities. However, this situation increasingly, as time progresses, we find municipalities are unable to offer us accommodation, and we are having to move out of municipal buildings and into a commercial premises, which is causing strain in relation to our financial resources. In terms of the maturing of our democracy, we are finding that increasingly the environment in which we operate is becoming litigious, and we anticipate this will increase over the next few years, particularly in the run-up to the local government election. Our current stock of citizens is due for replacement after the local government election in 2015, and plans are in place at the moment to consider exactly what those machines will look like and what functionality we will require going forward with a view to replacing them shortly after LG 2016. Likewise, we replace our hardware and upgrade our IT platforms on a five-year cycle, and that will take place immediately after the next local government election. Commissioners have approached the courts to review the Riverside Office Park lease agreement, and that is in process at the moment. And in addition, we have recently entered into a new recognition and procedural agreement with the union and the Electoral Commission. We no longer are linking our salary to pay scales to those of public service coordinating bargaining council, and that process is underway at the moment for the first round of negotiation with a view to getting those implemented before the 1st of April 2015. We continue to research new technologies and implications of e-voting. A task team was recently set up within the Electoral Commission to consider possibilities in this area. Recent developments with regard to devolution to local council have meant that by-elections are on the increase. In fact, I think on the 25th of November last year was the biggest set of by-elections the country has ever seen, and those are obviously factors that we need to take into account. We need to consider the fact that unrepresented parties and increasingly independent candidates contest elections, and we need to ensure that we have mechanisms in place to coordinate and facilitate with those independents. There is an increasing trend towards the administration of non-legislative elections or legislative elections other than those specified within the Electoral Commission Act, and it's part of Vision 2018 of the current commission that we provide assistance and facilitate wherever possible, not only those but also in relation to other countries. The strategic planning process set out on slide number 11, it was drafted in accordance with the Treasury framework. It was developed after a consultative process. It has been adopted by the Commission. It covers a period of 5 years, and this annual performance plan that we're presenting here today is the second year, or the second plan that relates to the 5-year strategic plan. And it includes the strategic goals, objectives, performance indicators, and targets of the Commission, and will form the basis of the annual report. We have three strategic goals within the Electoral Commission. The first one is strengthening governance, institutional excellence, professionalism, and enabling business practices at all levels of the organization. The second is achieving preeminence in the area of managing elections and referenda, including the strengthening of a cooperative relationship with political parties. And the third is strengthening electoral democracy. In terms of the first strategic goal, there are five strategic objectives. Exercising oversight is first. The oversight to ensure the implementation of our core mandate. Strategic goals and objectives aligned to the corresponding budget. The second is ensuring effective oversight by provision of assurance and risk management services. The third is building institutional capacity to enable us to deliver on the constitutional mandate. The fourth is managing financial resources efficiently to protect the public image as an accountable institution. And the fifth is to provide and maintain a stable, secure, and scalable ICT environment that meets the functional needs of the Electoral Commission and to ensure the credibility of electoral processes. In terms of this goal, there are a number of performance indicators and targets. The first is to have 54 governance committee meetings per annum. There are 6 governance committees set up by the Commerce Commission that oversee the work of the administration to ensure that we deliver on the strategic goals and targets contained within the strategic plan and the annual performance plan. Then there is a target that 9 commission meetings will be held within the financial year. These will review the outputs and recommendations from the governance committee. The next target is to have 4 quarterly reports by the CEO on achievements of the topics that's contained within the annual performance plan, and 1 annual report, which is a report that is considered by this committee in the business side that considers the actual achieved against the annual performance plan. We have an indicator that we will have 1 annual risk-based internal audit plan and 4 quarterly internal audit reports indicating progress against that plan. We will also have 4 quarterly reviews and updates of the strategic risk register by the Executive Risk Management Committee to ensure that we identify all risks arising and take cognizance of the zone in our forward planning. In terms of institutional capacity, our target is to achieve 980 filled posts, and in terms of developing our internal capacity, to award 80 bursaries and offer 160 internal and external short courses to permanent members of staff. We also have an approved performance management policy in relation to staff, and our target is that 100% of qualifying staff will comply with that policy in terms of completing their performance agreement and being a best against post. In terms of financial accountability, we plan to achieve an unqualified audit for year-end review and to prepare 12 steps of management accounts indicating our performance in relation to spend against budget for the year. In terms of a scalable IT system, our target is to achieve 97% uptime, which represents 8,750 hours of available systems to support our work. And then, as indicated, there is a target contained within our annual performance plan, although there is no target for the 15-16 year. But the target is about the IT refresh, which phase one, which is the design and specification, which will be achieved by 31st March 2017, and then with the implementation thereof in the year thereafter. The next strategic goal relates to achieving preeminence in the area of managing elections and referenda, and the strategic objective that relates to that goal are managing the free and fair elections in accordance with the applicable time frame and to ensure the efficient and credible execution of the mandate of the Electoral Commission, to maintain an accurate National Common Voters Roll, to ensure efficient election delivery by establishment of accessible and suitable voting stations facilities and applying the relevant infrastructure and logistical resources to meet the operational requirements, to provide consultative and cooperative liaison platforms between the Electoral Commission and political parties, and to strive for excellence at voting station level to enhance the integrity of elections. And then dealing with the targets in relation to this goal, what needs to be highlighted is the fact that, as Commissioner Fenker indicated, they're working very closely with the MCA at the moment and monitoring the progress in relation to the delivery of the outer boundaries by the date as are indicated. In terms of the next timetable, the earliest date of the election is the 18th of May 2016, and the latest date is the 16th of August 2016. The strategic battle, the annual performance plan for the 15-16 year, has been developed with the earliest date for those elections in mind. However, as the process unfolds, if it becomes apparent that that earlier date may shift to later, the possibility that the current plans are to have two registration weekends in the third quarter of the 15-16 financial year, and the target is set on that basis. However, if the date of the election moves, there is possibility that the date of the registration weekend will also move into then the 16-17 financial year. And as a consequence, the targets here that relate to those registration details and the fact that is attached to those will also move out of the 15-16 financial year and into the 16-17 financial year. In terms of our targets specifically, there is a legislative target, the average number of days in which elections are conducted for a date vacancy, that's by-election, which is the 90 days. That target remains. The average number of calendar days in which to replace PRC vacancies, target is within 35 days. The number of days in which election results are announced is within 7 days. And the number of elections set aside, our target is 0. The number of registered voters is a critical target for us. And our target for the 31st of March 2016 is 25,600,000 registered voters. And then monthly we check the voters' roll against the national population register, and so our target for that activity is 12. I spoke earlier about the replacement of our listed scanners, which will be replaced after the 2016 election, so the target is registered here, but there is no specific target for the 2016 financial year. The number of contracted voting sessions on main registration weekends or election days is 22,600, and that indicates that this is one of the targets that may potentially shift if the registration weekends are not held in the 2016 financial year. We then, to support our work, have a number of permanent warehouses, local office facilities, and a full-time distribution service. It's 10 warehouses, 234 local offices, and one distribution network. That target remains. There is a target to ensure that all voting stations are supplied with the appropriate electoral material on either a registration weekend or an election day. And to support that work, we develop a materials requirement plan and fill in materials, and the target is now for those registration weekends and election day when they happen, that we achieve 100% of those plans. Then we have a target in relation to the number of party liaison committee meetings at the national level, at provincial level, and municipal level, and that target is 2,600 interactions in the 15-16 financial year. In terms of the representative political parties front, we made disbursements to those parties who are represented, and we made one disbursement to quarter, so we have a target of 4 disbursements in the 15-16 financial year. In terms of electoral staff recruited and trained per annum, this is for the registration weekend. Target is expressed as an average of 2 weekends. So if we have 2 registration weekends, we reflect the average of the 2 registration weekends as our actual. If there is only 1, it's 1. But our plans are based on 2 staff per voting station plus the buffer, and therefore we plan to, should the registration weekend happen in 15-16, recruit, train, and deploy 50,092 electoral staff for registration weekend. Our third goal is around strengthening electoral democracy, where we encourage the electorate's engagement with and participation in electoral processes. We achieve a low rate of spoiled ballots as a measure of effectiveness of our civic and democracy education program. We enhance the Electoral Commission's reputation as a credible and trustworthy EMD and provide thought leadership in electoral management. Our targets in relation to this goal are: the first one relates to voter turnout, but the elections will not be in 15-16 financial year, so there is no target in the annual performance plan for that indicator. We then hold a number of civic and democracy education events, and our target in relation to this indicator for 15-16 is 60,000 events. We look at our audience reach in relation to the televised democracy education content, as well as listenership figures for radio content. And our target for 15-16 is to reach 5 million South African viewers in relation to those programs. We have a media monitoring agency that consists of the covers and collates for us. The coverage of the Electoral Commission, and our target is that we achieve a 75% neutral or positive report in respect of media coverage for the year. The rate of spoiled products, another critical indicator for us, but as I've indicated, because the elections are not in the 15-16 financial year, that indicator is not applicable in the period under review. We form a number of strategic partnerships to assist us in relation to our outreach activity, and our target for 15-16 financial year is that we form 30 such partnerships. In addition, there are a number of high-level meetings with stakeholders that are conducted each year, and our target for 15-16 is that we have 40 such meetings. And then in terms of international liaison, our target is that we have 30 international interactions or liaisons within the 15-16 financial year. Finally, in terms of thought leadership initiatives, we have targeted that we will issue 4 reports or papers or publications in relation to the efforts on electoral management. Finally, in relation to our 3-year program, in the 15-16 year, our budget is 1.582 billion, which is divided between goal 1, 531 million, goal 2, 763 million, and goal 3, 287 million, reflecting the 2 registration indicators are currently planned. In 16-17, there will be an increase in the managing elections goal from 762 to 907 million. That's the most dramatic increase, reflecting, of course, the elections that will happen in the 16-17 financial year, and then in the outer year of the NPE and the period covered by our annual performance plan, the money is expended on goal to drop to 548 million, reflecting the fact that in that year there are no major electoral events. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Thank you very much, Commissioner.
That concludes our presentation.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, there is a presentation from the IEC. And honourable members will remember the other week when we had the Auditor General. When it comes to the strategic plan and annual performance plan, the bigger question is, what do they want to do? The indicators that they say they want to achieve, and then is it an achievable activity, is it measurable, then is it practical, we're not just talking about things that we can do, and because they say this is what they are going to do, and so the help is there. On the achievability and the ability of those particular type of the food eat. And some of them, although it's that maybe I may not have applied my mind, is that you don't have total discovery, some of them, whether it's because it's difficult to do so, probably will have some sort of an explanation. And honorable members, there we are. The issue that the phrase that they think they are going to do that you put doubt whether they would achieve a book or the targets are not realistic.
Thank you, Spartan. No, I want to be commenting on that. Okay, so that's the question always meant to actually do the okay. But those things about the information or the reports on the diminishing of scholars, as well as the legislation that we say with me about local government, I think we will also support that, because we also mentioned that also other supercasters that are parliament are also at the bottom of those decisions proposal. But what I would like to know, because you specifically speak about local government, my understanding and my experience is that when it comes to local government, people are not eager, are not active. So if I easy, what measures or strategy have you put in place in order to get people to go and vote for local government? Because after the protest for councillors and so on, they start to go and protest in the case of councillors. When you compare, they are voting second because the people are so discouraged in the just of the trip. So surely I think I easy must do something. Because, I mean, my experience and my understanding, once you own or you say, I voted for this candidate, instead of protesting, although there are reasons why people are protesting on daily basis, but maybe the other aspect of the matter is that if you voted for a candidate, your own candidate, you should be able to work with that candidate. Understanding also that there is frustration within the system. But if you are popular voted, so I think people say they can work with you. Coming to your presentation, Commissioner, on your institutional analysis, the first point that you raised is that office accommodation is problematic. Municipalities are increasingly no longer in a position to provide. What did you realize that? Surely, it's not a thing that the municipality they just look up and then tell the IEC that, look, we are not going to accommodate you. Surely, in 21 years into democracy, I think IEC should have some sort of plan in terms of addressing this infrastructure problem. As well as maybe I would like to get a progress report in terms of upgrading the infrastructure compared to a well developed area and to informal equipment. My last question is to President Ministry of Electoral Commission, what we call it, the e-voting. I think it's something that you can use. According to your research, I'm sure part and parcel of the research is that you have gone to one of counties who are using this in a voting system and compare, and then you have an informed decision on if South Africa is ready for this thing. I'll just pause for now, Chair.
Thank you very much, and Honorable Kenny.
I have my question on page 14. Now, at that time, the check was happening in James Quadre, Chambers Quadre, the behavior of charity against Alexis. The world and government are not losing their investigation, losing their investigation. So, I'm looking at what this is objective. What is happening here? And secondly, not only low profile, also from the violence. And say that you promote good education. Now, how do you do that? Because you understand that when there are violations, people don't understand that those are also elections. These are the ones that are low profile in violations. Can we in the terms of low shame? Okay, let's see, what decision you make for incoming election to train scheme? Because you know that for the people of this motion. Now, I think of what is behind when the motion is put in process. I think lastly, you said that the reporting period for the number of extra staff in the state is 5 and 1. Why is there only one target for 2015 years? I think that's what's the reason.
Thank you very much, Honorable Bong.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Firstly, I would like to thank the lecturer from Institute for an outstanding input. I've worked with them for many years. They've checked the rooms and they've maintained most of the issues. But there's just a few questions for that. Firstly, very quickly, I think Madame, when you gave us your input, you spoke about the election date. I think it's the 18th of May, whatever it is. If you could just remind me about this date, I would appreciate it. Secondly, I heard you speaking about how much the IEC is depending on the municipal demarcation board, which we applaud, and we definitely keep our eyes and ears open, especially with the patronage and committee that we need to maintain on those things, because already there's a few areas where they seem to be having lots of those and municipal boundaries, especially like in KwaZulu-Natal and a few other areas. Secondly, my other question is that I think the stated here that the IEC is finishing its review with practically on legislation, and that I think I'm meeting with the minister. If we could also be given that report through our chairperson or after it has been discussed with the minister, so that we can actually see the details of what has been addressed today. I think the issue of the electronic certificate, which would be something which is stated by some of my colleagues, an instance which would really look at quite closely. As well as this electronic transfer, it's something which has really bothered us, the political parties, when we have rushed to the ICC, we submit the money, so we actually applaud it. We're seeing over years that has driven us up here, so we really applaud those types of issues. And my next slide is going to be, I think it's on page 5. On page 5, I think it's slide 5, it's on page 5. That is the point you said, promote knowledge of sound and democratic electoral processes. How much of research has been done into our community to really ensure that we are with us in this point? Great communities, making use of community organizations, that will be taking place for digital parties, because it's also our responsibility to be doing this, as well as the IEC. Do we have a measure where we can really say people are with us, people are working with us, we are on the correct track? Noting a point which was raised by some of my colleagues, like Leto Clinton, why are we still experiencing a long tenure when it comes to violence as I stated, we are aware of our own responsibility. Why does it still keep on happening? Adjudication of disputes. I'm aware that you have a certain section that you speak about. If one were to ask one or two major disputes that have happened recently, or which are still with us, or which are still living in the IEC, I think one would look at probably one that I'm thinking about, and that is the Malaya one. How much is it, what role have you played today? Apart from government playing a role, but you have as the IEC, because I'm aware that probably you did go there sometime, because that's when the whole point, and mostly even the statements, which were made by the Bosnian, a few hours ago, a few days ago, over that area of Malaya. The victims in the team, we've had this situation for ages. They've been problematic over time. We do know about them. I think you said we'll use them until next year. What have we got in mind? What is there in mind right now? Because we need to know. We've used the victims for many years. We know about them. We've been in politics for a couple of years. We've been with the IEC for a couple of years. What is it that is going to be used now? Or which we are thinking of using? If only I'm not going to talk about, I'm going to address the issue of the cost to review the Riverside Office Park. I think the Riverside Office Park is a matter which after me, my dear sister, Sensei Kapula, even the IPC. How far is this process now from where it was? Because we definitely need to know about this. And then another matter is that you are looking forward to the Taliba. Or the senior. Just mind you, what are the serious, what are and then lastly, my last question would be the issue, I think it's on page 35, where you are addressing the issue of performance indicators and targets. I think here you have said you go for 75% neutral. I don't know if I need for this conference or something. What does that mean in layman's terms? If I were to take this statement and take it to my council, if I were to do that, I just want to get an understanding of what it means. Thank you.
Honorable Rafiq.
Yeah, thank you very much, the IEC, for the presentation. And I think if I can just get some clarity, because we have seen in the past election that there were some parties out there that actually were heavily demoralizing the IEC. You know, you see that you want to enhance the Electoral Commission reputation and the federal facility, you know, organization. And how are you going to report that to the people? Because our democracy is being taken because of what has transpired, you know, in Uganda. I think it was not really, you know, good on our part. Then how are we going to keep that gambling and humanity in this office? And also on the, because we can see that with the root of the ballot papers that are at this point, what motivates IEC to own the root of voting? Can you benchmark with the other countries in that regard? If you can tell us which countries have you benchmarked with. And then on page 39, on the issues of research, the number of research and the support leadership and all that research, what does it entail on the leadership issue and on your page?
if you can just really, you know, because it doesn't have any sense to me, but if you can just unpack, because I'm very interested in the search, then I thank you.
And you said, say, I think I'm for 21 days for making Kuka Canal. I've not seen any services from the Bible of the Aita. I understand that it is for the sport, the field of sport, and I just mobilize the society and then we can go and move. But then I'm interested to know, because gradually, because that's the magic road program, because people are not happy. And now I'm trying to think, is there no strategy I can do? Also, it will be important to go and vote. Because if you look at our situation, senatorial constituents would love to go and vote, and they would love to go and vote for ANC. When they are disappointed by the ANC, they choose not to go and vote. And then few will go and vote for our party. And now the point to be trying to raise that if it's not possible for ANC to mobilize the society and show the society that if you are not happy, it doesn't mean a thing. Go and vote and think of alternatives if that's the way to vote. It is important for the country to have the voting trend going up as it has happened now since 1994. We are going down. I mean, is there no way that America can get a certain thing? Both education at some point. It was done by the Department of Home Affairs when the kid was the minister. And at the moment, I'm one of it. Because I used to talk about that education during the period of fire, they like to come in. In fact, I'm not seeing anything that they, that is one day I see things that we can do. Enough to say this, that I think that we are well there. Because I many people who don't understand why should they vote and what is the area which counts. And that's what I would ask. You come to those strategies about that and plan so that you can try that truth within your budget so that we can make sure that the society comes up and move. I think that's all I'm interested to know here. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and I think there is still other items that Honorable Madison left for other members to raise, and they have not raised.
Yes,
sir. Then she should raise it.
Yes, sir. Yeah, just one question, Chair, and your political project is still ready. I just want to check with Aristides, how far have you gone with the implementation of Atman Report?
Thanks for the question. Thank you very much, and on occasion, you also are satisfied.
Hey, not even you also take part in the elections of other countries. And I said that because you have in other countries, yes, in African countries, there is also a violence, and effect in most of all of them. But my question is, in these elections, which is actually held in most of those countries, we are in the water, you know, because I wonder why you should say that the government was good. Now I feel about the kids, young people, how are they going to find their life of course, for most in the country, if they are not in the position there, when you know that also you have to support, you are not having the system, because each country has got its own foreign, it's a bit for the people, you can't get started in giving, but that's to check how to do this.
see that something before you have your attention.
Thank you very much. Honorable, the point of honor.
In the last one, I'm worried about this one, but I'll tell you that let me ask you. There are claims that we make out of far so they are high shots, but that one is sad. When there's a fact to see AIC, I think AIC.
AIC.
AIC. AIC. AIC. Now, you hear people claiming that this fact was voted because people thought that they had to agree. I don't know how much we have. But when I look at the color, and then the IC, that AIC was close to the end, I think it's the final paper. Now, when things are so close, why the IC doesn't start high so that you can see it? I don't know if that is true, that's why they were voting in the paper, and they think if the colors of everything is very close, I don't separate them far from each other so that you can see it.
Yeah, well, I think there are processes to do this whole number of processes, how the work is ordered. I'm interested in this due to the maturing of our democracy and sophistication of political values. The electoral commission has experienced challenges resulting from an increasing digital environment over the past few years. I would say that we have up to speed to what is happening. The other issue is I'm understanding as well that this question, it looks like you are going to use them next year for this election. And they are saying that is their last usable year. Are you not afraid that they cannot pass through the election? Then, if you use them right on their last day of the usable life. In one meeting where we engage the IEC, I think that there was a commitment or a willingness to develop some innovative ways of electronic communications to voters. There was that sort of willingness from the IEC, and the committee then decided to monitor how you come up with those innovative ways to communicate to voters electronically, whether through the cell phone, messages, and all that. Is this something that is in your plans or is going to see life sometime? Then the issues of the target. I may not talk to all of them, but there are certain targets which on page 26 or slide 26, number of registered voters as of 31 March this year, value of 25 million, 25.6 million. You see the target of just an actual figure that you will just measure on that page. What is that number actually? Because if it's a number that you just read out of the record on the 31st of March this year, then it is not just a mere target, it's a number that just happened on its own at a particular time. The target is that if you are not doing anything, that target is not achieved. Then to achieve it, then you must work a little bit hard and achieve it. But if you are just reading on the page, you continuously registering people on a particular day, then you read what is the figure there. then I'm not sure whether maybe a little bit of an explanation. Then on page 31, number of letters down is treated and saying the Anna. Maybe the recruitment may happen on one day, but the training, because there are only there are no battery targets. And surely this training is an ongoing thing. And I'm not sure whether there is any explanation that can be given. Also the other one on slide number 34. Well, you want to read audience, you know, it's on television. The issue of 5 million viewers, I mean, it may be a constant thing on the board. One would, from my side, I would have actually liked to see how many times we have used this in the television. Because even if you do it once, then you still need to do it 20 times, at any given time, you reach the same 5 million. And then surely the target should be talking to how many times we're going to do that. And rather than just to say annually, then when did you reach 5 million? Unless if there is any explanation of how it has been done to help the target in that form. Then it's 37. Also to have another thing, why the number of formal strategic partnerships per annum? You have got nothing on quarterly to achieve that annual target. It's 31. And, right, outside the presentation, I think all what one wants to indicate is that one would love to see the IEC that pays attention to its own infrastructure that it requires to be able to manage medicine. But pay attention to the infrastructure required. Must not be found wanting. And then the equipment as well, like as you say that you are now using SSDs for replacement, possibly also one would be expecting that you will be also improving the equipment, rather than just by new systems, you must be looking at improving, you know, the technology in them, because to cater for things that you may have experienced over the past 11. And then also the issue of the registration of voters. And then we should really, I think we are learning every time when we undertake elections and the registration strategy. Then they may need to be improved as we move forward, because we have now lessons that are left. Then the voter education, as that Dennis had also raised, the voter education remains, because after so many lessons that were conducted, we still have spoiled ballots and the rest. And it may be pointing in a particular direction. May not be the only thing with the voter education, because sometimes people just decide to spoil their ballot deliberately for other reasons known to them. But surely the issue should ordinarily spoil ballots should reduce. And if it is the deliberate spoiling, then see those spikes at certain voting places, spike of foreign ballots, then you can find that beyond ordinary voter education. And one big one from my side, I see security of our election process. I think we have need to pay attention to that, because it's very key to the integrity of our work and the election vote. It's very key. We should not really lose sight of this, and then whatever we do, we must, then it is the risk element that are associated with the any step that undertaken that has got impact on the validity of the election process. I think if we are ready to take out the commissioner together with the delegation.
thank you very much. That was the incentive of all the questions that have been raised. We will, from our side, try our best to respond to all of them. And I would just propose that we go through the same year. We'll start with Grandi. We take those questions which, in your view, are in your competence. Fiona and Godwin. And I will give those that remain, and also those that are within, really within the table of the commission itself. I propose that we do it this way.
Honourable Chairperson, honourable members of the committee, thank you for the questions. Writing frantically, I hope I have the gist of all of the questions, but if not, then feel free to stop it to expand further. Perhaps just on the first one, I've got to add this. I listened to all the comments. Honourable members should have ever noted, as a fact, in the last local government election, the trend was actually upwards. The international norm and trend for local government election is that it is lower. Now, having said that, the Electoral Commission obviously does everything in its endeavor and would hope for a higher turnout. But the turnout that we had in the last local government election basically bucked the trend. And a lot of people claim responsibility for that. At our debriefings, first of all, TLC, the political party, said that they were responsible for it. Within the organization, we had different departments that all claimed responsibility for it. The media all claimed responsibility for it. Now, I think they all are correct. And the reason why I say that they all are correct is because voter turnout, I think, is everybody's responsibility. What the IEC does within its resources is it has dedicated projects and plans, as listed, that Fiona has outlined for us. Can we do more? Yes, I'm sure we can do more, but doing more would also obviously require resources, more resources. We are faced within the times of austerity measures whereby we have to compete for resources obviously with the other needs of the country. But yes indeed, for by-elections, it is specifically low. And I think that is an area where, because of the fact that it is more concentrated, we actually physically, our strategies there include door-to-door pamphleting. We also have a strategy of field workers that go out there and physically encourage and educate people. What you have to however remember is that for by-elections, we do not have a public holiday, as is the case with general elections. It takes place on a Wednesday, it takes place from 7 to 9, in some cases. Specifically, we've had numerous cases in the Eastern Cape where requests have been to shorten the hours because obviously of lighting and security concerns. The general trend is low, but it is not surprising that where the contestation is higher, that it has a corresponding higher turnout as well. We've had by-election turnouts, we've actually exceeded the general election turnout. We've had election, by-election turnouts as high as 60-odd%. So, what we can say based on that is that the fact that there is no public holiday is probably 1%. However, if the contestation is higher, it contributes because political parties obviously put in a lot of effort as well. But it's very erratic. In terms of where it will go, it's not something really that is very predictable. And I think probably a lot more research needs to go into this. Office accommodation. Initially when the IEC started out, I would say it was probably in its entirety housed within municipalities. That was our base where we started. And gradually and increasingly over the last few years, we have found ourselves competing for space within other priorities within municipalities. What are we doing? We are, one of the areas that we are currently piloting is the, I don't know exactly what the word is, but I normally call them ski cabins, but it's a sport cabin that you normally find a structure that is put up at construction sites. But it's a very smart concept because it contains, it allows for electrification, it allows for the sewage outlets and water running, etc., so we can connect to all of those services. What I ever required is the fact that you would still have to lease land or alternatives, you also rely on municipalities to make that available to us. But that is one of the initiatives and it's still in a different stage and it's probably the way to go. Alternatively, and this is where the challenge lies, we have to go commercial. And one would think that if you go to a rural town, let's take a center off, that your rental would be cheaper than say a place like Cape Town. But because of the fact that there is enough availability, landlords are able to dictate. So commercial property, specifically in the outlying places like in the Northern Cape, are extremely high and we have to compete with on the commercial level with regard to this.
Can I just add a little bit? I think you should not be too elaborate with your answer because you still have other opportunities to look at this before. But the answer must be what and why.
There was a question on the election debt. Let me quickly summarize. First of all, as Fiona has mentioned, our plan is based on the earliest possible election debt, which is on the 18th of May next year. The last election day in terms of legislation is that the election must take place within 90 days of the expiry of the 5-year term, takes us into August. At this stage, in terms of the deliberations, our planning, we have to be ready for an early election day. But a lot would depend on our meeting with the minister, who is ultimately responsible after consulting the IEC to determine that date, and also the handing over of the package, if I could call it, from the demarcation board. And as things unfold over the next few days or weeks, we probably have a clearer indication as far as that is concerned. But constitutionally, our outer date would be 16th August, where we would still sit in the constitution. Distance machines, we have two or three questions on them, so let me answer all of them. What are we going to replace them with? I think that form part of our current research into e-voting, because the two obviously cannot be seen in isolation. Will they give in on election day? No, they won't. We've learned a lot from the technology as far as VIPSIPs are concerned, and our VIPSIPs are going through a periodic maintenance program that they have a contract in place with, specifically looking at the internal batteries, external batteries, and also doing diagnostic tests. I think when we say that they would have reached the shelf life, basically the same that you're looking at the technology and also the fact that you have WMT and it will just become more and more costly to maintain. So the visits, we basically have the control, they will function and they will work for us for the next election. There was a question of all voters' roles, which I did not quite understand, but with regard to voters' roles, we provide voters' roles for each election to all participating contestants and political parties. What we however find is that political parties have their own versions of voters' roles or their own software, so that if they voter presents himself or herself, that the sequence or the version that they have may, well, definitely won't be the same as the official version. So one is to draw a distinction between the official version, that is the certified voter roll, and any other versions designed by political parties or older versions that they still have in their position. So we definitely do not distribute for a specific election older voter rolls. With regard to the question on the AIC, what we do is determining the ballot paper order at the signing of the code of conduct. We have a ballot paper draw, and that determines the alphabetic order of political parties. I think that if there was a party in between the AIC, or if there were a number of parties in between, they would not have been together. So the order at the end of the day is determined. In terms of the colors, I think there are a number of parties also with the colors. What they ever do, when a party applies, we look at the logos. The logos should not be too similar. I don't think that we can reserve colors really, as well as the names of political parties. Currently we have about 200 political parties registered. So as the figure increases, obviously, you will have more and more increasing similarities or names or colors. Electronic communication of voters. One of the points that we are currently still in infant stages looking at is specifically the one that was mentioned by yourself, Honorable Chair, communicating with voters via SMS. This would obviously include purchasing data. So we're looking at the feasibility of that as a option. The number of registered voters, yes, it is a figure that stands alone. However, behind that is a calculation. On an annual basis, on a monthly basis, I think we have an average of about 36,000 people that leave the voters' roll as a result of the figure that we have. They take that into account as well as registration initiatives, specifically those registration drives. So behind that figure is actually a specific calculation taking into account registration drives as well as your guest. In terms of specifically as to how that is quarterly itemized, I don't think that it is specifically when it comes to ongoing registration. The turnout there is quite low. The major catch that we do with registered voters is specifically when it comes to registration weekends. There was maybe just one last question with regard to key voting, which I heard, but I don't find it in my notes. We are currently, what we had, I think 2 years ago, we had a seminar on electronic voting. All the political parties and other key stakeholders were invited. We, prior to that, we also did a desktop research to form the basis of the deliberations at this e-voting seminar. We've also had a seminar last month on free and fair elections, and the issue of electronic voting came up again. The status of where we are currently is that we are at a stage where we have task team within the organization looking at the feasibility and the approach. There are a lot of considerations, obviously, that would go into such an initiative. We have the experiences, some of the countries that we've visited, that was another question. We've done Venezuela, we've done Russia, we've also done Namibia, and there's one more we've also looked at internet blockchain, because e-blockchain is a big body of knowledge. We also looked at internet blockchain in Norway, what they are doing there. So we're learning, we're growing. So at this stage, our focus is basically just on approach in terms of how we take our research forward, because we obviously need to consider specifically our ETF, our limiting factors such as budget and timing and all of that. But the research and the investigation is ongoing. I think I'm going to pause at that stage and hand over to Fiona.
Thank you, Chairperson. In respect to the Auditor General findings about the smart system target, that they need specific measures on achievable elements and times and so forth, and your specific questions about why there are no quarterly targets in relation to some of the indicators, we have, over the past few years, put in a significant amount of work towards addressing the issues raised by the Auditor General and ensuring that our targets are balanced between what is appropriate and as outcome-based as possible in the context of the work that we do, whilst at the same time can be evidenced appropriately. And this is the reason why some of the targets have no quarterly targets, but are rather measured annually. Specifically those in relation to electoral staff, we count those individuals as having been recruited and trained only on the day that they came to work for the registration event, which will happen if the timetable holds as is currently stated in the plan, with registration beginning in the last quarter of the financial year. Of course, training does happen at periods prior to that, and in fact we have been increasingly moving as an organization over the past year towards more continuous contact with our planning officers in particular, but we will only count them for target purposes on the registration day. The same applies to strategic partnerships. We count them at the end of the year when those partnerships have been in place for a period during the year. In relation to our strategies to promote financial accountability and the outcomes of our previous audit, for the past 2 years we have in fact been unqualified. We, with a fair wind behind us, plan to remain so for this financial year and every financial year for the rest of the institution's long life, recognizing of course that the difference between qualification and unqualified in the context of an organization that employed in an election that 214,000 electoral staff, and that the AG comes along with a select sample of perhaps a couple of hundred, and we have to find those 200 employment contracts out of 214,000. The challenges are significant, however, we have done before, and I am reasonably confident we can do it again, but the accountant in me says they don't promise until the outcome is on the table. But we do take the job of ensuring that our financial systems are up to scratch very, very seriously. And every year, after the Auditor General's manager letter has been provided to us, and in fact during the course of the audit, the minute we notice an area of improvement, we take it on board instantly. And we have, over the past few years, implemented a series of procurement workshops, procurement being a particular area of difficulty for any organization that has the decentralized procurement processes that we do. And thus, we have been successful so far in addressing the issues, and hopefully we will continue to do so. In relation to load shedding, it is an area that has been identified in our risk management, in our risk register. We have got plans in place to ensure that all of our appropriate offices have uninterruptible power supply generators. We look at the issue of power capacitation in relation to temporary infrastructure. So we are really conscious of the risks that are taking steps to address those. In terms of what is the question was around positive and neutral, we look at the number of media reports within a month. If the tone is neither in our favor nor against us, but it's merely factual, we consider it to be neutral. If it indicates we've done a good job or said something positive about us, it's considered to be positive. If, however, the report say something negative about us, it's considered to be negative.
I'm very conscious of time. I'm listening to the three issues that I think have not been covered. So one is the issue of spoiled parents. We measure it between 1 and 1.5% of parents. If it's below 1%, it's low. If it's above 1.5, 1.7, 2% is high. And then we will look at it a little bit more carefully to look at if there are any other reasons why it's like that. For further follow-up. The outreach issue around both education, we will be appointing expansion staff for the market education facilitators, and then also municipal outreach coordinators will be appointed for certification. But as my colleagues have indicated, it's also determined by what the budget allows for. Then the ASMA report does receive a lot of attention from us at the state. There are two issues. Pertaining to the IEC. The one has got to do with the name of the IEC. At the moment, we are referred to as the IEC, but the legislation speaks only about the electoral commission. So it causes a bit of confusion around that as well. The other one, obviously, is about the categorization of the differences in Chapter 9 institutions. Those of us who have specific tasks and also the other one that could be around together. Then, this is a small thing about the differences. These are regularly serviced as well, you know, so we do look at that and keep them updated as much as we can. And finally, Chair, the issue of security of electoral processes, we work very close with the state security forces, closest relation. In fact, in the national joints and the provincial joints, we co-chair the provincial joints with the with the other police services, where all the other structures are also involved, and that usually brings about quite a significant focus on security matters as well. So.
Thank you very much, and thank you to my colleagues for taking on the question. I'm also aware that person of the challenges we have already confused, and I will try and reduce. Just to add on my colleague's response on the ASMA report, that report, Chairperson, is not in our court. That report is in the court of this institution. I can just report that we were delighted when the speaker reported to us in the meeting that we had that this parliament is seriously engaged in that because we have relied on it and we have been no action on that, but we were told that this parliament is seriously considering that. On the Riverside Office Park, Chairperson, the Honourable Member that raised the question, that matter is taken by our Commission to court. We are asking the court to look at that procurement and to make pronouncements on it. And we are anxious, we cannot rush the court, but we are anxious that that must happen in such a way that it does not disturb the deliver of local government leadership next the amendments of the DM we have requested after the send to the chairperson a copy of the amendment will do that as quickly as we have had a session with the minister tomorrow so that your process will change. On the enhancement of the credibility of the electoral commission, the Honorable Member has raised this, and it's a matter that we are engaged with. Our success in delivering elections depends almost entirely on whether we have credibility or we do not have credibility. The election management bodies that have had problems in the continent and in other parts of the world, there is zero in on whether the EMD does have credibility. It is a respected event. I mean, this is what we are at all times have emphasized throughout the organization and in the training. And of course, the kind of errors that still pop up from time to time, although they do not assist us with the professional training. And we are intensifying our training so that everyone who works with us on election day, because we depend on election day on people who are not in the organization, who come to the organization just for the day of election. And it becomes difficult to then enforce on them the kind of code of ethics that is applied to an election day. Because you may have your own person at the end of the month, but once you are in election day, there is a code of ethics that you apply to. The question of election of our country and what assistance are we giving on the question of voters' role. Our role in the continent continues. Especially now we are in discussion with two countries in particular. One is the voters' role of Zimbabwe, where you have a voters' role which is not managed by the national election board, but it is managed somewhat else and handed over to the election
manager.
So we are engaging with the commission, making proposals and suggesting how it is very important for the voters of all to be in the hands of the election manager. And Zambia also had a presidential election as a result of the death of the president, and they went to that election without registering voters. We are engaging with the election management body with suggestions on what needs to be done in their case, because in their case they are required to do a violent media clearance. So it's an ongoing intervention that we have got. Thank you. Just a last one on the litigation, Chairperson. You asked us whether we are afraid. We are definitely not afraid. We don't see litigation as a negative. We think it's very healthy. It becomes a problem when parties are dissatisfied and instead of going to the court to find an amicable dispute, you then take the law into your hands. So we see this litigation that is there, like women in corporate businesses, and there are some people that parties are taking us to court and so there is a sense to when the media was reporting upon it. We went to the court and explained ourselves, and the court made a judgment, and our hope is that that route is a mature route. We have attempted to respond to the question, Chairperson, and we have rushed out anything for you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes,
Chairperson,
I think
the
lawyer has attempted to do so, and I'm sure that it's not a lot. They're still going to meet the IEC many, many, many times for the next 4 years that we are going to be here. And we just hope that you will be changed some of us so that you don't meet the same kind of view. But otherwise, if there is no change, you still want to see this collective here and over the next 4 years. And I think we really just need to appreciate and but I just wanted to indicate, you see, when it comes to the target, anybody that picks up your document should be able to interpret the target without running around seeing somebody who is saying what he intends to do with that. So the target must be populated in a manner that Yeah, with no self-explanation, I mean, anybody can make the interpretation, anybody can match you on your own time. And therefore, I still have a feeling that some of the targets are, some of the targets, without you standing up and explaining yourself, it's going to be very difficult for anybody to understand what you're trying to do. But the Buddha target, this is a manner that they can be measured, and then they are realistic, they make sense, they are achievable, and I think that will make life a lot more easy for everybody. And I would really request that you really look at that one. That specific target is of 25 or 26 million people. Which you're saying is a number that you measure on the 31st of every year. I have reservations whatever has been happening. I have reservations. Because why am I recognizing that you know is a number that you just pick up on the 16th. Of course with the calculations that you said that then you reduce those that are taken and that I come to the 19th. And so it's just a report here. It's just a report for the 31st of March. And say this is not a number. If it's a target, and then it's fine, but I really don't see how it can be a target. But thank you very much. Just to restate that while we thank your participation, your infrastructure requirement, be on top of it. Your equipment, be on top of it. You should not fail us during the election because they represent our integrity. And then let's popularize our registration activity and so that we can attract majority of those that would like to register and vote. And then let's involve the voter education. Let's try by all means to make sure that political parties understand that they have got a role to play in the voter education as well as mobilization of voters so that they can pitch up on the day of election or on those registration meetings. Political parties must understand that they have got a federal role to play. We will do our part as well to start at the moment. You know, in the end, those particular things arrive and try and popularize them. But in your engagement with the political parties, we must instill this issue. That they must not just sit there on the side of the road to see they are waiting for a bus. They must participate in the political parties and play their role. And of course, is that I'm trying to say it on record. Let's try and have this assessment continue. Any activity that you try and do, assess it with confidence. And each gauge should move forward. Because there is only one thing that we need to fight for, is to secure our election process, that they actually enhance the security of the institution to be able to pronounce on outcomes of our election. So thank you very much. And I think Commissioner Finker then is relieved, or any other one, but if you can't leave all of you. You can't leave all of it. So we like at least to have somebody who can communicate back to yourself what has happened when you tell whether dealing with the GPW on any matter that affects elections. I'm sure it's the GPW is becoming the most preferred printer in the continent, if not in the world. And so you were the IEC has got a lot of people based on this issue. And so that's why we just request that you at least have one amount of salary will be able to give you some of the good news that may arise. So thank you very much. Honorable members, I think we can just have about 5 minutes while GPW is preparing. So I think we can get our certificate. Very good.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, for this opportunity to present government mission work and performance plan. There are three elements that in the presentation will be quite short. I'm not going to go through all 32 slides. Most of them you have seen when we presented plans and at your strategic plan workshop. The three elements that I will address will be the strategic plan for 2015 to 2020, but not in detail, because you have seen enough of that. I'll also address the budget, which is relatively new, and I'll go through those slides in detail. And then finally, the annual performance plan. Now, unfortunately, the overhead is not working, so I have to set the slide, which details the strategic objectives, the performance indicators, and the targets in that annual performance plan, but unfortunately, I cannot project them. But what I will do is, in the latter half of the presentation, as we look at the strategic objectives, I will explain what the key performance indicators are for each of the strategic objectives and what the targets are for the financial year for each of the strategic objectives. The government printing works, second slide, seeks to contribute to the national outcomes of government and the goals of the national development plan. We talked about that earlier this year. The legislative mandate on the next slide is very clear. I'll discuss it in detail. And then our strategic outlook, our vision is to be the state mandate security printer. And we discussed the mission about this before. Now, when it comes to the overarching strategic outlook of the government busy work, we have three strategic outcome-oriented goals for the next 5 years. Further, this is to become a state-owned company, further develop the government component organization to become a state-owned company. The second is to optimize processes and facilities. Optimize processes and facilities to increase operational effectiveness and improve customer service. And then the third strategic outcome point goal is to have a diverse workforce, to have an efficient, effective, and well-trained and diverse workforce. Now, in order to achieve those three strategic outcome-oriented goals, we have identified 15 strategic objectives. And those strategic objectives, 15 of them, in our strategic plan, are also in annual performance plan. And for each of those 15 strategic objectives, there are one or more key performance indicators. So this year, there are a total of 22 key performance indicators that we intend to deliver on, and I'll describe those in detail as we go along. The next slide we can skip. You know the structure of the government works. We are an organization 100% owned by shareholder government, and reported to the minister and to the minister to Parliament to yourself. Now, as the GPW, the organizational structure, GPW is a factory, it's a printing company, and therefore very different to the other 420 entities and government departments and provincial departments that make up our service. And we are divided into four branches, obviously key operations and production. That's the productive part of GPW. Secondly, strategic management encompassing IT, security, internal audits, and marketing and stakeholder relations. And thirdly, financial services, because as a business that is expected to create all the operational expenditure from revenue generated through products and services alike, it's important that our financial services are described for the supply chain management aspect and also the financial management aspect. And then fourthly, human resources. As the GPW transforms from a traditional state-owned printer into a modern print and media company, developing our human resources becomes particularly critical as we replace old technology with new modern technology. Training and upskilling our workforce is key, particularly as we increasingly deliver government information not only through ink and print, but also through printing on different media such as polycarbonate and the PVC, and also through IT backgrounds such as websites, delivering the electronic gazette, etc. We spoke earlier here about our annual performance plan priorities for 2015-2015, and the first one was the increased production of a smart ID card to 300,000 cards per month, and currently at about 200,000 per month, which would mean that next year we will produce in excess of 3.6 million cards in this financial year. The target for Department of Home Affairs is 3 million cards, so we think we can easily match that target. Our interactive electronic gazette went live a few weeks ago, and it is working really well. We are continuing to implement our enterprise resource planning system. We're continuing the development of the 1 billion rand facility at the Garden Street, and hope that the entire organization will be treated there in 2015 at the end of this 5-year period. We're continuing the construction of the examine printing division and dispatch center, which will hopefully be complete by the middle of 2015. And as I say, over all this, we hope to complete our transformation from a government component to a digital company with your assistance. And I've mentioned the strategic outcome goals already. We talked about that earlier this year. The state of enterprise. At the moment, in terms of progress in that respect, the Minister's Office has the draft state printed bill. The Minister has written to the Deputy President to put the three bills that Home Affairs intends to lodge the Parliament into the process, and one of those bills is the state printed bill. So we hope that over the next few years, the legislative process will be complete so that we become a state of the company within the next few years. And then optimizing the process of the facilities, you'll see what I mean by that as I go through the key strategic objectives of our annual performance plan. I mentioned that the Visata Street campus, renovation of that, the 1 billion rand project, 60,773 square meters of factory space and office space. We hope that will be complete by the end of 2019. The funds for that come from about 1.2 billion sitting in the Haymarket Journal's account, plus profits that will accrue from our operations over the next 5 years. I showed you pictures of the site and the schematic pictures of the buildings, etc. I mentioned about the flight center earlier this year, which will be complete by the end of next year. And just want to move on to budgets. But let's just look at production statistics, because that's what we're about. We're a printer, we produce the material. Some production statistics over the past 4 years, the numbers of parcels we produce have declined as more and more South Africans already have a passport. We hope over the next financial year to introduce the new passport. Identity document production is declining and the smart ID card production is ramping up, and as I say, we're producing about 250,000 smart ID cards a month currently. And examination papers we produce for some of the provinces, government gazettes, we do still print government gazettes, but increasingly we're encouraging our subscribers to use the electronic gazette through our website, www.gpwonline.co.za. And as mentioned by the Smart ID Card project, we hope we will be producing over 3.6 million Smart ID Cards during this financial year. Over the next 6 years, we'll produce about 36 million Smart ID Cards, plus another 5 million Smart ID Cards for those who are turning 15 each year during that 5-year period. So in total, we'll be producing about 41 million smart ID cards over the next 5 years. an appointed stage to that process, the production of the ID446. We anticipate that will have a major impact on identity theft for all virtual eliminators throughout this country. So I wanted to concentrate on the budget because you didn't need to study this year. The slide is entitled Income Expenditure Estimates. And you see at the top of the table a total sales. Over the past 5 years, revenue achieved W has virtually doubled from about 450 million in 2009 to currently now forecast 977 million in this financial year. And we anticipate that over the next 3 years, leading up to 2018, that revenue generation will increase by 48%. And the reason for this will be increasing numbers of smart ID cards being produced, and also possibly other new projects that may come our way, such as the driver's license. The gross profit margin, which you can see on the third row, for forecast for 2015 is just 89 million, well, with a GP gross profit margin percentage of 29.6%. And let's bring down the slide to the bottom. Net surplus is forecast for this financial year at 145 million, which is about 14.5%. It's necessary for us to maintain a reasonable profit margin in order to capitalize our business. The renovation of the Sarkar Street site, the purchase of the administration building, and also the replacement of our entire printing machinery with modern printing machines will cost in the region of about 1.3 billion rand. So we anticipate that these products over the next 5 years will all be consumed in the renovation of the Sarkar Street site, as well as replacement of our machines. So the 1.2 billion is going to pay off the general account, plus profits over the next 5 years will all be consumed in those projects. The next slide, creating expenditure trends to strategic outcome-oriented goals, shows the three strategic outcome-oriented goals and shows you how the budget is applied to each of those goals. So, for example, goal number one, third, developing the common component, remuneration there, in terms of rollout of the new structure, that human resource structure of GDW, which is anticipated to cost another 208 million or so. Capital expenditure in terms of IT equipment, etc., 34 million. Staff development, 19.5 million. And then the second strategic outcome, which is built optimizing growth in the city. The first one there are the facilities that we are renovating. In this financial year, we anticipate spending about 250 million rand on renovating those facilities. And over the next three financial years, the total comes to about 710 million. And then the next line, capital expenditure, that's the machine replacement program, 42 million this year, and a total of 131.476 million over the next 3 years. And then lastly, staff development. If you get new machines, you have to have a workforce that's trained and have skills to operate those machines. And so you'll see it when you go through strategic objectives that developing the workforce is a priority for us. We talked about organized crime and security. And I want to finish now by looking at the strategic objectives. And you'll see what we've done is to ensure that our strategic plan, with its three strategic outcome-oriented goals and its 15 strategic objectives, is closely aligned with the performance plan. So the 15 strategic objectives encompass 22 key performance indicators, and I'll run through those with you over the next 5 or 10 minutes. But unfortunately, you won't be able to see the key performance indicators and targets because on my slide presentation, the machine isn't working. So let's start with operations and production, strategic objective 1.1. And here, the key strategic objective is in replacing our production equipment. Some equipment we have at the moment is 30, 50 years old, and over the course of about 6 years, and in the middle of that cycle, all equipment that you can get will be replaced with modern printing equipment. And that will make it one of the most modern staples in the world. And the total cost will be in the region of almost 600 million rand. Now, the target for the equipment replacement program for this year is 12 pieces of equipment for a total cost of 42 million rand. This particular aspect of our performance is severely constrained by the fact that there have been a huge delay in the renovation of these factories. So we have equipment that has been purchased sitting in boxes at the factories because the actual factory is not renovated in order for us to take the equipment and use it. So that is a severe constraint that we're operating under. But nevertheless, we hope to achieve that target this year. 12 new pieces of equipment at a cost of 2 million rand. The second strategic objective under operations and production is production of security printed material. This is obviously our core business. To produce security printed materials according to customer requirements and local or international standards. And the four main products here are firstly the smart ID cards, and as I mentioned, the home affairs target is 3 million smart ID cards in this financial year. We think we'll easily meet that target and probably exceed it. And the second is the continuing production of green ID books, which as I mentioned is gradually dwindling as the smart ID card replaces them, and at some stage in the next few years, I imagine the minister will announce that ID book production will cease. And the third major security printed material that we produce are examination strips, about 12 million of them a year, and obviously they have to be produced according to quality and delivery standards. And then the fourth major product that we print is the government gazette. And as I mentioned, we hope that over the coming year, fewer and fewer government gazettes printed, and more of our customers and subscribers use the electronic gazette. And as I mentioned, from 2 weeks ago, you can now submit your material for the government gazette using an electronic PDF file. No need for faxes and other such things. Our next strategic objective is under strategic management, and that is the coordination and distribution of government information. Coordination and distribution of government information in accordance with quality and delivery specification. So that includes publishing and printing the government gazette, and produce about 2,500 issues of government gazette and provincial gazette, and they have to be perfect. There's no room for error in producing those, and no room for delay. They have to be produced on time. And then the fourth strategic objective is availability of ICT services. More and more of our internal business processes and more of the information products that we deliver to yourself and citizens of the country are delivered through an IT backbone instead of increasing spend on print material. And so developing our ICT services is a high priority for the GPW. And examples of that in terms of internal processes is our enterprise resource planning system, which we introduced about 2.5 years ago, and which is working well in terms of improving the interface between our business processes on an IT backbone and our financial services and HR services also using an IT backbone in order to improve. And the fifth strategic objective is about securing and protecting our ICT environment. And clearly as a security printer, it's critical that our ICT environment is secure. And I've mentioned to honorable members before that I anticipate that as we shut down the space for identity theft and fraud through the introduction of smart ID cards, increasingly international crime syndicates will attempt to use cybercrime in order to try and obtain false identities through false smart ID card or passports. And so we think that working with Home Affairs and with CICA in improving cyber security will be key, and that's an ongoing process will never issue the end of cyber security, because cyber criminals are always developing new methods to try and breach your defenses. So ICT security and protection is critical, and we have various methods of various projects in that sphere in order to ensure that security. The sixth strategic objective is alert all industrial security management, optimizing ICT service offerings. And I mentioned the new ERP system and bedding down the new organization. And the target there is to ensure that more than 80% of what they intend to implement is actually implemented. The seventh strategic objective is our marketing strategy. Aggressive marketing strategy implemented to retain and grow the market. And as you know, we have ambition to grow the market beyond our borders into other African countries. And we have delegations from other African countries in Malawi who will be visiting the government printers in order to see if we can produce products for their security printing products for them. And the target there is to produce one new project in that year, in the coming financial year. And then product mix diversification. Increasingly, we want to expand our product mix beyond passport, smart ID card, etc. And we have customers such as SARS, the KZN liquor board, various problems in terms of mature things themselves, etc. And the target in terms of our product mix is to develop one new product in this financial year. The ninth strategic objective is development and implementation of a security risk management system. As I mentioned, security is key in the security printer. And the target there will be to implement that security risk management system in this financial year. The 10th strategic objective is to provide independent objective assurance and consulting services. This is the work of our internal audit department, and as we attempt to move beyond the phase of having had 5 unqualified audits for the last 5 years to achieving a clean audit hopefully within the next few years, the work internal audit will be key in terms of trying to achieve that target. And the target for internal audit for this year is to complete it. Over 85% of their external audit plan. The 11th strategic objective is under financial services to provide effective and efficient financial and supply chain management to stakeholders. And here, the key performance indicator, firstly, is to achieve an unqualified audit again, and hopefully, the next few years, a clean audit. And then the next, the 12th strategic objective. Under financial services is functional secure facilities to facilitate the upgrade of occupational secure facilities that we mentioned about the facilities and the purchase of the admin building and the construction of a dispatch center and the various targets under that. The specific target in this key performance indicator is that within 3, the high speed examination printing and dispatch center should be at least 50% complete during this financial year at a cost of about 250 million rand. And the second key performance indicator under the same strategic objective is that the site development plan for the entire Dubai Street campus should be completed in this financial year. The concept design has already been completed, and I'll be showing you a picture of that in the presentation. And under financial and supply chain management, there are other key performance indicators such as maintaining a high positive working capital ratio of 10 to 1, maintaining an inventory turn ratio of at least 3, and maintaining a gross profit margin of 27.8%, and reducing debtor collection period below 80 days, and also finding service level agreements with our customers, with at least 10 customers, and ensuring the return on capital in our financial operations is at least 20%. And then moving on to human resources, the 13th strategic objective is a human resource governance plan, and your objective is to complete and implement a human resource governance plan that will provide adequately trained employees to support the organization towards growth and sustainability. And I mentioned why that's important. Specific key performance indicators in this strategic objective are to ensure that all job descriptions and job evaluations are done timely, and that all posts are filled according to the human resource governance plan. The 14th strategic objective is learning and development plan. To implement a learning and development plan to support the talent development of job employees through professional development, career development, and improve performance management. So we're not going to be creating new jobs, as one of the honorable members pointed out earlier this year, but we will be increasing the skill levels of our employees through training and the specific target here is to ensure that we have an average of 3 training days per year available to each of our 557 employees, and also to continue upskilling in terms of operating leadership. The 15th strategic objective is about labor relations management to promote sound labor relations between the employer and the employee. And one of the specific projects in this financial year is to investigate absenteeism rates and to try and reduce them. And so that's a presentation of our 3 strategic outcome-oriented goals and the 15 strategic objectives in those outcome-oriented goals. And the 22 key performance indicators in those strategic objectives, and the target that we have set for this annual financial year in order to ensure that our business progresses. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We have received the presentation, and like as I said before as well, that the 2 entities, I think we almost know them too much, except that we are always discovering the information in our former alarm that is required by the people of the particular report to be presented. And the information, more or less, we know, and we have had the CEO spoken to us, and we can corroborate the report. Okay.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for the presentation.
want to bring attention of the African business man. They say that it's difficult to recruit due to the good salary below the market rate. Now, according to the state of the nation, there was an issue of recruiting even from foreigners, have you also tried to protect that? The fact is, you know that we are trying to suppress our citizens on the issue of xenophobia. That's why we check to how far have you gone with that movement. Thank you.
Number?
Yes.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I did take note of the input which has been received from the government in Kenya, and I think some of the areas which were given to us today and some of the areas which were given to us last year in progress is seen in most of the issues that I addressed. I think I remember when the CEO came in and we were just moving the process onto government changes. I would just like to find out a few areas that are quite important to us. A lot of money is going to be used to upgrade the service, and it's important for us to guarantee value for money. And with the machinery which the CEO was talking about, which has been lying in certain areas, I remember even last year we got that input. I hope that now, with all these upgrades and the changes which are going to take place, we will be seeing a lot of that machinery. Firstly, noting that machinery does develop over time, how much of that development could have happened to some of the machinery? Because I remember that some of the machines are in this room. There's quite a lot, if you're connected, it's up to quite a lot. How much of money is still going to be needed to ensure that we have upgraded the machinery so that it works? And I think when it comes to machinery that we have acquired, is the type of machinery which we make it possible or impossible to keep some of our workers in the workplace. I think that is what my sister was asking. How much of that has been checked internally as well as with the unions and everybody else? Because definitely whether we like it or not, some people will lose their jobs and because of that. And the next point is the issue of the smart ID card. I think there's someone here where they said that with the type of smart card and the type of decision we have to report, there's no way that one can hold it. Type of mechanism which is used to make those smart cards. We are truly grateful because of that, but we know wherever there is a human being, there's usually people that will sooner or later take out information. What type of mechanism that we got is made to periodically check on our people? That is highly skilled and highly qualified in them not actually taking out the information. I do know that in particular countries like highly developed as well as countries, there's a mechanism which I use periodically. In agreement with the very good. So that you can check on these ways to be any check size, it could be whatever, so that you can quickly identify those people and maybe move them to another section or even remove them from their work. Because we may say the mechanism is quite good now, but if we don't look out for certain areas, we may actually start experiencing problems. So it is important for me to actually address or ask about the issues of security so that we monitor people. I think we're aware of the fact that some years back, the young men who actually relocate very private from the United States over to the Latin countries because we had taken out some information and because it was in a sexual environment. But the information is on the issue of the cell phones and how government was monitored. So we need to know right now and actually look out for such type of areas. And
Thank you. What are the plans you will have? I proceed.
Okay. Deputy Chair, I've got something. There was a mention by the doctor that there is a syndicate that are planning to do a smart ID card. I think you mustn't think, Doctor, there's already one in the Western Cape, which they're making the smart ID within 2 hours, then you get your smart ID. Unfortunately, I'm not an investigator, I just talk about the rumors. Once there's fire, that means somebody's cooking something. Then another question that I want to ask, Doctor, is the question of, is there any other plans that we can also make business with the other African continent, the GPW? Lastly, Chair, I just want to find out about the budget. Are we still, once you become a state-owned company, are you still going to rely on the Home Affairs budget that we must give you budget, or are you going to have your own budget? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. I think what you have just said on the system, if there is anybody who is trying to produce our smart ID card, we therefore have to have GPW then to find a way of investigating that matter. And let's have that support when we come back after.
Then when one is elevated, the other one must go down.
and render the receiver refused away. The other one would slide to come to an end. But Abu Dawud, Allah says, is not one to commit. On the day that we will see the last green bark of the time coming out of your production line. We want them to think creatively and proactively and with vision, so that we are able then to target them. If we don't have a strategic state, then we may end up with this moving on and on and on and on and on. And then it may end up being caught in sustained machinery to produce a food when we are producing very small quantities. And I think you may respond to the questions that have been raised. Just before you say that one, I'm sure Fiona, you have already picked up one crucial issue here, security. And you may stop this. And you'll allow me to be greeting. We are now first.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, and Honourable Members. The issue of state printers bill and the target time. We held to in terms of the legislative process, that is something for the Minister and for the Portfolio Committee. The Minister's office has a draft bill. It informed the Deputy President that it will be one of the three bills that he wished to put through the legislative process. But we don't know exactly what time frame they anticipate that occurring. So the bill is not contentious, and we don't anticipate many challenges during public hearings, etc. So it should progress very quickly, but I think you have to inquire the Minister's staff as to exactly what time frame they anticipate the bill reaching promulgation. As regards the budget vote, as a government entity wholly owned by government and reporting to the Department of Home Affairs, we have to submit our budget within the estimate of national expenditure together with other entities reporting to Home Affairs. However, we don't receive any votes from Home Affairs. The last time we received any money from our government was the transfers that National Treasury provided during the early stages of the renovation and atmospheric capitalization program, and that was about 3 years ago. So all our operational expenses are entirely raised from the revenue that we generate through the products and services that we provide. There is indeed no human intervention from the time that you walk into the Home Affairs office and have live capture for the data for passport or smart ID card to be procured, then transferred to government printer works by a C-line or to Home Affairs. And eventually when the dispatch engine is complete, the only time there will be any human intervention will be when the GW employee in the dispatch center hands the box for a particular Home Affairs office to the courier. So there's no opportunity to intervene at all. This does mean that there will be a dramatic reduction in the numbers of workers engaged in producing ID documents. What we have done, and we discussed it in detail at every stage with our union, is to ensure that nobody is retrenched at all, and that all our workers, and we had about 30 workers engaged in ID book production, Home Affairs, I think had about 80, that all our workers are redeployed within our organization, retrained, upskilled, etc. And that process has been going on very well in terms of smart ID card. There's also a further process been going on in terms of the electronic gazette, and again, close consultation with unions and the bargaining council, etc. And I think to date they've been reassured that what they have seen is no retrenchment and people involved in the government process being retrained and upskilled to be involved in electronic events and the manner in which the data is received through the electronic PDF file and is then looked into the electronic interface. The retaining skill artisans and also other professional staff is difficult because of the salaries. We don't recruit foreigners. I think about 530 employees, we have no foreigners at all. What we do, however, as we purchase these expensive machines from Germany, Switzerland, the United States, is we often send our own employees to Germany or Switzerland for a few weeks in order to train on the machine in that foreign country and then to come back to Africa. But our fear is that once back in Africa, working for GEW for a few months, they'll then be poached by other companies in order to earn higher salaries. That's not happening with the Smart ID Card project at the moment because no other company in Africa does have such technology. And so the only possibility for a special worker in GEW to work on such a project would be to go overseas. So but we don't recruit foreigners, but we do use skills transfer from foreigners working for foreign companies, either in that foreign country or employees from those foreign companies coming to GEW for a few months in order to train our employees. Yes, it's been progress since last year, as the Honourable Member noted, she's very perceptive in highlighting the issue of value for money and depreciation. It's a big problem in our business model. What the modern printing company do is when they purchase a mid-range high-speed printing machine or whatever, they work it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for 15 years, except for bricks for maintenance. And so their depreciation costs are amply covered. Because we have only one shareholder and we pay no dividends to people who invest in the stock market or whatever, we don't have that financial pressure in order to cover the depreciation costs. But it will become an issue in the future. And so we anticipate, for example, that the current 8-hour shift that we have in the Smart ID Card will probably change to either 2 8-hour shifts or in the near future as the later production of Smart ID Cards and other ID cards and access cards is taken up in our organization. There are no job losses in terms of introducing new technology, but it is an issue in terms of depreciation of the machine, particularly when they're sitting in boxes, because others work have been slow to renovate the factory. The smart ID cards, a successful forging of a smart ID card is currently impossible. Similarly with the passport, since 2009 we produced 4 million new South African passports and there has never been a successful forgery. Many attempts, but we haven't succeeded yet. The manner in which we work in the security print industry is that our products, such as the smart ID card and passport, have three levels of security. The first level is the one that we popularize to the general public, so that they'll know if you look at a smart ID card, you know the forgery if this or that the other. The second level are features that are not obviously visible, like illuminate the card or the passport with UV light in order to see a particular image or whatever. And then the third level of security features are those that only the general manager of operations and production and myself know about. And those are the third level security features that we use when we have to go to court in order to declare whether a security printed material is a forgery or not. And he's able to use his knowledge of the third level security features to be able to say this is clearly a forgery. How do we periodically check on our people to keep them honest? Our people are vetted. Those who work in a passport and ID factory and high security division particularly are vetted. And for example, in the passport factory, the workers don't go into the factory in their own clothes. They have to change into passport factory clothes before they go in. Those clothes have no passport, have no pockets, so you can't leave a factory with a passport in your pocket, etc. And if a passport is lost, and we haven't lost the passport at all, if the passport is still in, and we haven't had a passport stolen for some time now, some years, then all the workers in the passport factory undergo life tests or whatever in order to find out who has stolen this passport. We also have about 88 closed-circuit TV cameras in the smart ID card and passport factory and the high security division. And as we renovate in Sun Street, we'll probably reach about 100 or 200 closed-circuit TV cameras. And then, as I was saying, in the fingerprint industry, every 10 years or so, one produces a marketed version or a marketing version of a passport or ID card. And that version has new security features. In order to ensure that one keeps a few steps ahead of the organized crime syndicates. One of the reasons why the organized crime syndicates are not able to successfully forge ID cards and passwords is because the machines that are used, for example, the machines used from Datacard USA, each machine costs about 10 million rand, and furthermore, the company only sells those machines to security printers. And so, for example, with the banknote printing machine that we have, the current machine we have from Komori in Japan, the Komori has a register of every single banknote machine that is sold in the world. And if you intend to scrap such a machine, you can't play it on, and that's not possible. But if you intend to scrap it, Komori actually has to come to your factory in order to witness the destruction of the machine bit by bit, to see being cut up. So we have all sorts of ways of ensuring that the syndicates in Nigeria, Pakistan, Hong Kong, and China cannot access the store machines that can successfully print the high security products. I suspect the smart ID card that's been forged in Western Cape is likely to be a very poor forgery, so we will investigate and see if we can get hold of a copy and see what they're doing. It does remind me again that we need to improve our awareness campaigns with the general public about the security features on passports and ID cards so people can see that it's clearly a forgery. Yes, we are pursuing this in Africa. And Mr. Mokalong and Mr. Dele on HMS. Last month we went to Ivory Coast to a conference of African ministers responsible for civil registration by statistics. And there was a lot of interest in the exhibition that Mr. Mokalong and Mr. Dele put on at that conference. And many of the ministers and deputy ministers were amazed that the technology exists in Africa to do these things. They assumed that they only touched get European, American companies to do this sort of work for them. And we have a list of people who want to come and visit the passport factory in South Africa and possibly have some of their security products printed by GW. Talk about budget, as I've mentioned, at the moment we don't receive budget from Home Affairs and haven't done so for about 3 or 4 years. When we become a state-owned company, we'll continue our business model of defraying all our operating expenses from revenue generated. And unlike other state-owned enterprises, we don't go to the national treasury with a begging bowl. In terms of the booklet, as the Honorable Chairperson mentioned, the constraining factor is increasing the number of pockets that can do live capture for passports and ID cards from the current 150 or so to 410. I imagine that the situation might improve once the banks come on board, because the banks have quite had a large footprint in terms of allowing people to make an appointment at the bank to get an ID card or a passport through live capture at that bank. So, hopefully, sometime in the next few years, the minister may be able to announce the demise of the green ID book. It is actually a security risk having both of them being released at the same time. We've noticed, for example, that the reduction in green ID book production has not been as rapid as we anticipated. And we suspect, and we alerted some of this, that within the syndicates in South Africa, there's a growing realization that their revenue streams are going to diminish. And we think there's an increasing throughput of possibly fraudulent ID books at the moment because they know that one ID card is impenetrable currently to forgery and theft is getting an ID card a waste of time because they can't use it. I think I've answered most of the questions.
Honorable Rafuji.
Mine is a comment, and I just wanted to say that, you know, when we did the church, the government treated me like, he wants to comment, and teach me the particular state of that person, you know, inside, you know, it is like a religion of hygiene, so really our interest. With that scrupulousness, the way it's supposed to be, I'm really impressed. Still want to say it. And you can see that you are living in the security of our, you know, of our country. But I just wanted to check on the organogram. The organogram, how do you interface with, I can see that you report directly to the minister. And then we are having IEP. If we can be able to check that only through the minister and how, because we are in one covenant in security warm affairs with the DG with IEP on the follow-up of Obama. Yes, we have touched on the before you leave, I think we have observed, you know, the people, you know, before you, and also with the metric certificate, going through the state-owned route. What about the universities? Because that is also where people defraud and we get the professionals, and I think they are hiding in the continent, I think.
Of course,
there's only one method. We have been for benefit as a committee if we are to get just a bit of an issue for me. And that is the two ladies, I think, that they went to for the work, where they were making that presentation. It's not even to just get a bit of their experience, it was exciting to get to hear other countries looking for us for information. Just what were their experience, because we are into new avenues, as Honorable Rafuji is thinking that, you know, the place of the state of the art, I think, is so much more like a fact check.
Of course, is that I think when we visited the precinct, you were not with us, so you just visited us. Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, you may proceed to us.
I'll answer one question and ask it not long to talk about Cote d'Ivoire. In terms of the organogram, I report to the minister, and the minister expressed a view when he came into his current portfolio about 10 months ago, that he wishes to see regular meetings, first of all, between the minister and staff, and the CEO of GPW and the previous staff for any particular meeting. Spoke about a monthly meeting. It hasn't happened yet. I think scheduled very busy. But he still wishes to have regular meetings in order to discuss strategic issues and projects. He also was of view that there should be a working group of senior managers, the DG of Home Affairs and the resident TDG, including the Chief Operating Officer, meeting together with CEO GPW and perhaps some of the general managers from GPW, and then appropriate senior people from other entities. Regards any particular project. So it would be the senior officials from the IEC, if an issue around e-voting and how the smart ID card might be used for that, and the fifth gun, etc. And so hopefully that working group meeting regularly will happen, and it's not long from GPW side with the liaison person in that regard. I should mention, well, the people from IEC are here, that when we started with the ID cards, we had a 2D barcode that had your electronic fingerprint and your demographic details on it. But we then also put a simple 1D barcode on because the IEC at the time could not read a 2D barcode. So that's why there are two barcodes on the back of the IEC card. So we would ask the IEC that as we look at procuring new zip guns, that they consider getting zip guns that can read two barcodes, because that is the international standard in terms of and that sort of thing. And then we, as Honourable Member mentioned about other government departments, etc., we are constantly getting new business from other government department entities, for instance, the security agency in Serbia, which has about 1.2 million security guards registered with it. Huge problem in terms of forged certificates. So now we produce their certificates, and we believe those certificates will not be forged. I'm still trying, they haven't succeeded yet. And they also want us to produce access cards for them, which we probably put on our ID card machine. Department of Higher Education approached us a year or two ago about producing examination certificates, degree certificates, etc. Again, forgery in that area is rife, and we produce degree and exam certificates that cannot currently be forged. And other government departments are coming to us for the request for security cards. I should mention that if any of the committee were not able to come to current printing work on a tour, that they are welcome to come at any time in order to view the facility. And you should just contact Ms. Long and we can arrange for visits for an individual or one pair or whatever. And I should finish by asking Ms. Long to tell us a bit about Cote d'Ivoire.
Just before she takes us on, Fiona, I've seen you too that when you were talking about the barcode, that it looks like you were a little bit stuck. You don't have any follow up, you just understand what you're trying to say or what.
Chair, we're aware of the issue around the 2D barcode, and it's certainly one of the things we'll be looking at in terms of the new system to ensure that they can read 2D barcodes. They're an interim measure of faith for dealing with it, but it's definitely on the cards for the new system machine.
Okay.
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 Thank you, Chair. Should you feel that the United States is present or from our team to exhibit as they understand the content in Agricole, their own ministers were responsible for federal legislation. The education was led by the Dutch minister and the three old ones as well as the state issue. I will give you a report briefly about what stakeholder nations there was a booster. There was a booth where South Africa was displaying and exhibiting the product that the Department of Home Affairs produced. So it was a joint venture of the Genomics and the government. Basically, we were there for one whole week, and every day we had a few booths in the booth. But mostly we had ministers from countries ranging from the Ivory Coast, Malawi, Botswana, Ghana. But for the representatives were from the UNHCR and other entities, including the African Union Commission. And what we did was to demonstrate the security features of the African Council, which was key because the key reason we were there was to try and spread the African market because we did their business mainly in the world. It was but a very successful because in the political professor was baffled by the security features of our passport, which we literally demonstrated as properly demonstrated. We showed them the first level security features which they called them unbelievable. There was one barrier which you need to be attended to, which is the language barrier. Most people are using the Dutch language. Even though we have embarked on changing our approaches to the accommodation. And since the application, we were supposed to actually have the Malawi delegation coming to the GPW today, but it cancelled at the last minute due to things that we were not aware of. But we also had a claim of Malta who had shown interest, and Botswana, and also Nigeria, all other people were interested. And we have shown them as well as Malta. The security paper that we do, as mentioned, with regards to certificates and everything else, we can do it. End-to-end security printing of any document with any certifications that anyone can send for me. There is a report which you can send to every institution so that we elaborate mostly what we have done in the project for. And that's the first part.
Okay. Okay. So
thank
you very much. It is interesting that you are saying during the Nigeria is interrupted. And if I've heard from the CEO, when he was raising this alarm about syndicate, he mentioned Nigeria and Pakistan as well. I'm not sure what is the interest of him. Yes, yeah. Well, yes.
Can I just mention one thing actually? One of the things that I learned from getting that comment was that we thought the principal barrier for market expansion in Central Africa were the old colonial links that Francophone Africa has with France and English speaking has with the UK. So, you know, for example, there are only 7 countries in Africa that print their own passports and print their own banknotes. All the rest are done in Europe and the US, etc. But interestingly, one minister was explaining to me that one of the reasons actually why they print the banknotes out of Africa is because they don't trust printers in Africa, which I find astonishing. So in terms of our marketing strategy going forward, one thing we're able to do is to demonstrate to our African brothers and sisters that this is a security print they can trust, and that is as reliable as any security print in Paris, Berlin, or Washington. But apparently that's one of the reasons why they go outside the continent, because they don't trust printing in Africa. Incredibly
enough. Yeah, that means you must add another budget line, you know, on the market to deal with that perception, because of course it's huge. You can't really feel it in any area. You know, it's there are people that believe that if something is done with an European or a Western person in charge, then it's credible. And then I think we have that sort of explanation, so that it either we neutralize that perception or we do away with it. For those who are still wrong, can we go away with this? But we must neutralize it that countries must be able to really ensure that the continent grows as well, and we can't remain colonized forever. Yes,
please. Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'm probably not proper with the last question, but I'm going to use this opportunity. And that area, and it's critical just to state that I can want to ask a question. Other than South Africa, ballot papers are also not printed on the continent. My question is, this big investment that we're making in sending turnaround strategy, would the government printing works also find itself in a position with this equipment to be able to enable itself to print ballot papers as well?
Yes. You can believe.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we actually put a bid for the Lesotho ballot papers, but we were outbid by a South African private company. Mm-hmm. But no, we'd be happy to print ballot papers for South Africa or for any of the other 32 countries in Africa. And we can do it in a secure facility where there is no theft, no intrusion, either physical or electronic or whatever. So no, we wouldn't be happy to do that. Yeah.
Okay. I think you can continue engage with GPW and then help you.
but we all did it and our financial resources out of the continent are NASDAQ. Well, let's end the presentation as well, and then also to indicate that we will keep our eyes open for the statements as well, and ensure that the process as soon as it finishes up in Parliament. And also, of course, is that as you have indicated, that you're going to spend a lot of money in getting your open that should be put in place and but that wipe out for corruption activities. Where you spend a lot of money, then you have all the financial funds in their hands here. And then also the equipment, as you have indicated, that you are getting people trained on them. But also worry about the maintenance plans for those equipment. And also, of course, is that the more buildings you have, the more risk level goes up as well. That just try to achieve to be on par on dealing with within the buildings, access to the buildings, and then the printing processes, and do so. And also, let's try and see whether we can have innovative measure of trying to sustain our staff within the field staff. Let's continue the pay attention to that. And it may not be today, but maybe initiative today, may be tomorrow. And I hope that if you pay attention to some of these things, and then they would assist us. Let's move ahead of this meeting. And one has to say that, you know, if you move ahead of syndicate, you should have been a member of the syndicate itself, so that you know the internal workings of the syndicate. But it looks like they've never been part of it. So you always try, and then, so you must try and consult and engage as much as possible, you know, so that you are a step ahead. Honorable members, I think that this brings us to the end of the two briefing. And because now it's Honorable Marston has decided to collapse the quorum, then we can't deal with the
minutes.
Yeah, but I mean, the meeting is almost at the end. And we can't do anything else at the moment. But let me say that we thank the GPW for having managed to come. I think it's almost on a short one, if I still remember properly. We are on a budget process and we need to complete as soon as possible. I think we are still before, not the 6th of May, the 6th of May. And the 6th of May is actually post from now. And there's a lot of processes that must go through. And just to ask you, you know, to finish the engagement with your desk. And then start to prepare ourselves for the budget. And thank you very much, and thank you very much as well from the IEC. And then I think you are now the official. And the honorable member, I think I can train you for another 2 minutes while I'm undertaking what was being communicated to me. Thank you.